Thank you, Melanie and John. Wow. So the talk title for today is, Are We Speaking the Language of Love? Are we speaking the language of love? And at this wonderful time when we're about to celebrate Valentine's Day, and several of you have, as we jokingly say, we got the red memo, so we have our red Valentine's Day things on, and it is a wonderful time to celebrate this wonderful experience of that which we call love. And Valentine's is kind of a time of romance, isn't it? It's a time of caring for our loved ones, maybe as my minister called her husband, she called him her spice, not her spouse, but her spice. And our spices, our significant others, our friends, our children, those people that we love in our lives. Valentine's is a wonderful time to remember the importance of love and sharing it at that very human and emotional level that warms our hearts. And yet, as we take a look at what it really means to be speaking the language of love and how that shows up in our lives, I invite you to think about the everyday words that you use. To be aware of the places of judgment and criticism. And oftentimes they look like they start out there, don't they? And we look at somebody and we see something we're doing and they're doing. We go, oh my gosh, how could they possibly do that? Or what's wrong with them? Or look at our political arena. Boy, that's fraught with a few things right now, isn't it? What kind of words do we toss towards that situation? And invites us to really take a look at, are we speaking the language of love? In Romans, in Scripture, Romans, it's 8:38 through 39, it says, For I am persuaded that neither depth nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come. In other words, everything. Nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So as we move into this wonderful holiday of celebrating love, it's an invitation for us to begin to take a look at love differently and at the language of love that we speak. And while we can appreciate at that human emotional level the joy and the fun of connecting to loved ones and celebrating in that way, I would invite us to begin to explore what the language of love truly is. See, the language of love is the language of God. That essence and that presence from which we are never, ever separated from, that goes so far beyond anything at the human level of understanding. Joseph Langford wrote this. He said, We reduce God to our own dimensions, ascribing to him our own reactions and responses, like jealousy, like anger, especially our own conditional kind of love. And so end up believing in a God cast in our own image and likeness. But the true God, the living God, is entirely other. Precisely from this radical otherness derives the inscrutable and transcendent nature of divine love, for which our limited human love is but a distant metaphor. God's love is much more than our human love, simply multiplied and expanded. God's love for us will ever be mystery, unfathomable, awesome, entirely beyond human expectation. So What Joseph Langley was speaking of is that the language of love, the language of God, is transcendent beyond our human experience. And while for the most part we experience our world out here, this is reality, what we're invited into, friends, to truly begin to experience the flow and the magic and the wonder in our lives, is to move beyond our intellectual, human, reasoning mind and understanding of what it is we describe love to be. Because from that emotional, human, reactive place, we experience limitation, we experience fear, which brings up in us sometimes a sense of jealousy, sometimes a sense of not being good enough. What does it bring up for you when you get in that, you know, mind that is like, I'm not whole, I'm not complete? Not good enough. That's a big one for most of us. Anybody else? Wait, what? Thank you. Anxiety. Yeah, and I didn't relate to that at all. That's why I could hear it so well. Yeah, I mean, trouble keeping up with things and anxiety that comes up. These are all the things of our outer world, are they not? And when we talk about love, we kind of skim over it. You know, there's so much, you know, there's fluff and doilies and all that, you know. And see, we have been taught so much to live our lives out of our intellectual human reasoning mind. Seems reasonable, does it not? And yet, when we operate from the intellectual reasoning mind, what it will do is it will continue to argue for its past experiences. When we had somebody hurt our feelings, when someone made a comment to us and we felt we were not good enough, when a spouse or a spouse or a loved one or a friend yelled at us or we yelled at them, and that reasoning mind keeps going back to what it knows, because that's all its capacity is. Now, that does not mean that our intellect is not a wonderful tool for us. But friends, when we let it be in the driver's seat, we continue to replicate those experiences, so we perceive our world from a place of anxiety, of not enoughness, of never being able to get everything done, from all of these places. Blaise Pascal says, "The heart has its reasons, which reason knows not." And James Stephen goes on to say, what the heart knows today, the head will understand tomorrow. Friends, what we're talking about in speaking the language of love, in speaking God's language of love, is going beyond the intellectual reasoning mind into the place of our hearts. We speak about heart wisdom, and in the 12 powers, Charles Fillmore always puts love and wisdom together. Now, he's not talking about the intellectual mind, brain knowledge that way. He's talking about the deeper wisdom of heart that brings balance into unconditional love. So in order to speak the language of love, friends, in our political arena, in the workplace, in the situations we find ourselves in, relationships and with our family, it's a willingness to drop beyond what we know. As Joseph Langford said, we drop into that place that we can't figure out. We can't write it down. We don't have exact words for it. It's so much greater and grander than anything this mind can figure out. It's called bungee jumping into the heart of God. My gosh, it's called letting go. Letting go and breathing into the experience and inviting ourselves. to allow that divinity that is within each of us, that still small voice, to speak to us, to bring us inspiration, to remind us that we are loved beyond measure. Robert Vallet goes on to say, the human heart feels things the eyes cannot see and knows what the mind cannot understand. And Mother Teresa said, all that we need to know, all the wisdom of the cosmos, we will find in our own heart. Friends, Valentine's Day is a wonderful time to celebrate our loved ones, our friends, our family. It's also a wonderful time to be reminded how important it is to be speaking the language of love. Now, from an emotional place, I've heard that we all have different love languages at between men and women, and at that romantic level, there's different ways that we can show our love. Some people want to be hugged. Some people like it if their loved one takes care of them or does special things for them. Some people like to be told. So there's all these wonderful languages of love that we can speak from a personal and caring heart. And yet, as we journey in our world, there is that deeper level that we can go to that takes us out of the mind that judges, that says this is right or wrong, that says I'm good, you're bad, you're good, I'm bad. It takes us past the angers and the criticism, the comparisons. Can you think about when you last compared yourself to somebody else? What, 5 minutes ago? That's kind of a mantra. See, that's what the mind does. It's used to that. It hears it all the time. It keeps doing it. That's what it's used to. And in order to really speak the language of love, which is the language of the heart of God, for just a moment, it takes a willingness to suspend that intellect and the tracks of that voice that speaks to us in that way and letting us drop into the heart of pure being. Beyond the judgment, beyond the criticism, in ways of knowing that are different than we are used to. From scripture in 1 Corinthians 8, 1b through 3, it says, we know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. But the man who loves God is known by God. One more way of saying, friends, that this opportunity to drop beyond our outer physical world and experiencing love from a human emotional place gives us an opportunity to speak words of love wherever we are in a different way. So instead of speaking contentious words, instead of speaking argumentative words, instead of speaking words that might put someone else down or might put ourselves down, we drop instead into the heart of our being, and we allow that love that is of the heart of God to inspire the words that we say. Charles Fillmore, in Talks on Truth, says, the love of God must be felt in the heart. It cannot be described. Friends, we can't put words around it. It cannot be described. But the more we talk about love, the stronger it grows in the consciousness. And if we persist in thinking loving thoughts and speaking loving words, we are sure to bring into our experience the feeling of that great love that is beyond description, the very love of God. I particularly love this scripture from Psalms. It came to me as I was walking, and I heard it in a different way yesterday. Psalm 19. Okay. Was that me? Okay. That woke us up, didn't it? Okay. Psalm 19:14. And it says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Now, friends, we can know that some of this is older wording, because we don't look to a God outside and to be acceptable, to be good enough to God outside of ourselves. But we can understand that it takes not just the words that we speak, but it takes the place of the meditation of our heart to open us and to take us into that place where we find acceptance within us, where we find self-acceptance, and where we find strength. And redemption, redeemer, is an old word, but it means a place where we once again do not feel oppressed, we feel uplifted, where we feel the sense of truth and pureness and goodness. So let us remember that it is not just what we speak out here, but that it starts from the meditations within our heart. And it allows us to speak the language of love that is the language of God. So I'm going to ask you to, you all got a little note card as you came in. And if you didn't, you can raise your hand. The ushers will be sure that you get one of those. And I want you to just, do you have some more up there? Yeah. So I want you to just hold that in your hand for a few moments. Did we give them all out? I thought we had plenty. So I invite you, and I apologize if we didn't have enough to go around. I thought I had like quite a few, and maybe I did not have as many as I thought. So if you don't have a note card, you can take a piece of paper from the pew in front of you and write on that, and you can, we'll get, I do have some more in my office, so we'll get some of those to give to you. And I want you to take a moment to be aware of the words that you speak to yourself. Are they words of self-acceptance or self-criticism? Of grace and good and upliftment or of judgment? What I invite you to do right now is you're going to write out a Valentine. You're going to write out a love letter. You're going to write a love letter to yourself. And I'm going to invite you, it doesn't have to be long, it can be a few words. I'm going to invite you to drop in beyond the thinking mind to that place where we recognize the healing spirit of the living presence of God when we listen to the heart of our being, to the wisdom, to the pureness of God's voice. And I'm going to have you write a few words to yourself, and then when you are finished, address your envelope, and I'm going to suggest to you that you take it home and put a stamp on it and drop it out in a mailbox somewhere so that it can arrive to you in the mail. Because if you write it here and you take it home, it's likely going to be lost and gone real shortly. But if you mail it to yourself at another time, it will just arrive in that moment when maybe you were forgetting that higher truth, that higher greatness of who you are, when you've forgotten how to speak the language of love. So take a few moments and write that, and think of this. This is a quote from Rio Godfrey, who's a spiritual author. He said, "When we make the choice to fill our heart space with unconditional love, our worlds blossom into a beauty far greater than we have known." And Edmund Mabiaki says, "True unconditional love starts from you to you." Friends, it starts within each one of us. So take a moment to write that love letter to yourself. And as you are writing, think on these words from Buddha. You can search throughout the entire universe for someone who is more deserving of your love and affection than you are yourself. And that person is not to be found anywhere. You yourself, as much as anybody in the entire universe, deserve your love and affection. Write the words of love from your heart, a love letter to yourself, acknowledging your beauty, your amazing wonderfulness, your creativity, your delightful being. And when you are done, you can sign your letter. Friends, expressing from our heart-centered being, we speak words of love, expressing from our heart-centered being. We speak words of love. If we choose to speak God's language, let us do so from the heart of our being. And let the words we speak be a loving blessing, not only to others, but to ourselves. As we hold ourselves in that light of love, as we celebrate Valentine's Day. And so I will leave you today with a small quote from Charles Schulz. All you need is love, but a little chocolate now and then doesn't hurt. So as you leave the sanctuary, the ushers will have a little bit of chocolate for you if you care to partake in that. As you go, the ushers, if you could be at both doors.